Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Do you think religious institutions like colleges, churches, charities, should they lose their tax-exempt status if they oppose same-sex marriage?
Yes.
And what is the system of values that can sustain human social life? The fact is that no secular creed has emerged capable of performing the role of religion.
Getting them set up and ready for their abortion procedures and trying to feed them through that conveyor belt that they call healthcare.
Our primary reason for praying for the sick is that they not lose faith. That is the main purpose, that they're preserved from every assault of the evil one as they go through this particular infirmity.
Hello, this is Will from Michigan, and I'm a Lutheran high school teacher and football coach, and I love beginning my day listening to Issues, Etc. All right, guys, let's go.
We are told, we are assured that sex and gender are two completely different things. One is a matter of biology, which doesn't matter anyway, because what really matters is the social construct, one that you make for yourself, that you invent for yourself, that you assert and identify for yourself. And that's what really determines who you are and what you are, your gender. Now, this redefinition of the term gender has some of us spooked. We don't want to contribute to the insanity that is the sexual revolution at this point. We're a little hesitant to even use that word gender. It has a long history. It used to mean one thing. Now it means anything or another thing. Should we refrain from using it? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Tuesday afternoon, the 15th of October. Glenn Stanton joins us. We're going to be talking about sex, gender, and gender theory a little bit later. Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College will talk about the future of the Roman Catholic Church. Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why Sex and Gender Are Not Two Different Things. Glenn, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
The way the term is being used now, some of us are hesitant to use the word gender because we don't want to contribute to the confusion. Should we shy away from the term?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, one sense, you know, no, because gender is a legitimate term and it has a real meaning and a real historical meaning. And I talk about it and explain that in the article. But on the other side, well, since it does have a real meaning and it is an objective word that really describes something, the best thing to do and the most revolutionary thing to do is to use it correctly. And when people say, well, you seem to be mixing up sex and gender, say, no, I'm not. I'm using it properly, and I reject, you know, your philosophy on that. But the other is for us not to use it just simply because it's a more fashionable term. We ought to use it correctly, and we ought to use it intentionally, and we ought to be very intentional about that use and to say, I am using it this way, and I'm using it correctly, and I refuse to play along with your new gender studies philosophy or ideology use of that term.
Okay, we'll come back to the new use of the term in a moment, but if you would take us into the origins of this word and make the case for us that sex and gender are the same thing.
Well, here's the deal. Sex and gender have typically been, the difference there is linguistically, is, you know, you're filling out a form and it says, you know, what sex? Are you male or female? You check it off. If the same form says gender, it's meaning male and female. And so sex means male and female, gender means male and female, but sex can also mean coitus, which, you know, we would say the two genders are the only that involve, that that can be involved in real coital relationship, you know, real sex relationship. So we use gender when we're speaking of male and female and want to distinguish it from the sex act itself. So it serves a linguistic purpose rather than an ideological purpose, and that is the historical nature now, or the traditional nature of that. Now, and I go into a great deal of this early on in the article, is you look at the etymological foundation of the word, and gender comes from that G-E-N, you know, Genesis, generate, engender. It means to create. It's really where, through some derivations, where we get the term gonads as well, which is the male-female, very binary, creative parts of humanity. They're the only parts of the human body that require the other to function as they do. Every other part of our body, you know, our heart, it functions by itself. Our, you know, to engender, to generate, to be generative, if you will, is to exist and cooperate with the other gender. So the word gender there in the historical and in the Old English Dictionary, the Oxford English Dictionary or Old English Dictionary term or way of it means procreative, life-giving. And so that the word gender there now is inherently male and female. It is inherently binary. It is inherently heterosexual. And like, you know, they'll say, well, gender's just a social construct. No, in the proper form and use of the word gender to generate, to engender, to create, that is the most natural human part of existence that we know of. And so that's the understanding of that word gender.
So where did this other notion, sometimes it entered our parlance, these other meanings for gender, where did this come from? It goes back not too long, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it comes forth from a very radical ideologue who taught at Johns Hopkins University. His name is John Money. Later in his career, he was totally disgraced because of some very unethical things that he did, hiding his research to show that, no, we can teach little boys to be little girls and little girls to be little boys. He, in 1955, wrote an essay, and he was talking about really gender roles being pliable. And in a sense, they are. You can see a woman who, you know what, she flies a C-4 bomber for the Air Force. We don't think she's outside of her proper gender role. You can see Mikhail Baryshnikov, who dances ballet. You can see Emeril, who's a cook, spends all his time in the kitchen. There are gender roles, if you will, but there are male and female ways to do them. And so he was legit in some ways, but he and others took it farther to say that no, sex is what you are physically. Gender is how you exhibit yourself or what you understand yourself to be. So we're seeing that today in the, you know, transgender kind of thing of my body can be male, but my own self-understanding can be female or any other kind of gender that I think. But we see this. Feminists got hold of that idea starting in the later 60s and in the 70s, and they started to use the term gender as equal to or different than sex, if you will. I'm sorry. And I give two examples. One is a Google analysis where you can go in and see when and how did terms or words really start to take off in the English language in published books. And I have a link to that in this article. And you see that sex has always been, you know, used pretty regularly, but gender really took off in being used in about the late 70s. And it just shot nearly, you know, straight up to be on parity with the use of sex, starting in about 1980. So, no, people weren't using the word gender as something different than sex until about 1980 up to the present age, when this gender philosophy, when this gender theory really started to take hold. And so that's where it comes from. It does not come from any new scientific discovery. None whatsoever. It all comes out of feminist and gender ideology. They want to use these words as two different things because they want reality to be that way, but it is not rooted in reality, and it's really they're making it up.
And now it has become such a fluid term that it no longer even denotes any particular proclivity. It can mean I regard myself as androgynous, as nothing, or I regard myself as pangendered. I'm everything. Pretty soon the term itself loses all useful meaning, doesn't it?
Well, no, and that's really what's disturbing, is it's a very plastic term. And even we find out that, I mean, it's interesting because we hear this thing about, you know, what's your preferred pronoun? And that's what it used to be called. And, you know, okay, I'm he, she, you know, whatever, I'm, or, you know, he, him, I'm her, she, or they. But, and it used to be called, I mean, just 2 years ago or a year ago, preferred pronoun. Now they're saying, no, don't use preferred, because you're not preferring to be male or female. You are the opposite gender of what your sex is. So see, these people are making it up as they go along, and they're self-correcting all along the way because their own philosophy really can't keep up with how they act themselves. It's interesting. The other night with that CNN LGBT forum for the Democratic presidential candidates, Kamala Harris comes out and she says, I'm Kamala and my preferred pronouns are, you know, and she gives female pronouns. Well, everybody knew that. You know, nobody was uncertain about that. Nobody was guessing, oh my goodness, what are her preferred pronouns? What that demonstrated was she was, if you will, and I don't want to be disrespectful here, but kissing up to the LGBT philosophy and politics by simply saying that. The information she gave was absolutely unneeded. She wanted to demonstrate, okay, I'm up for the cause. I'm in for the philosophy. I'm supporting you guys. And I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's exactly what you said. It's so fluid. It's so changing. And when we have important words, important human words that speak to our humanity, like sex and gender, and we just make them mean anything that we want them to mean, I mean, that is, to use their phrase, doing violence, if you will, against not just the English language, but against the understanding of humanity itself.
You say that advocates of gender theory are disingenuous in how they define gender roles. They see it more black and white than anyone who wants to advocate for traditional gender roles ever has.
Well, and I see that all the time when I'm, you know, speaking on college campuses, and I mean, and this is wonderful, Todd. I mean, you live in the world that you live in, very conservative, very traditional. I live here at Focus on the Family. I mean, you know, the idea that feminists would have and that gender theorists would have is you and I are going to go home tonight, demand dinner on the table at 6 o'clock. If it's not there, my goodness, people are going to hear about it. And, you know, the kids and the wife don't speak at the table unless spoken to. And, you know, so that's the kind of really brittle understanding that the gender theorists and the feminists believe the gender roles. And of course, they're against those. But go to any one of our houses. You know what? Our wives may be working, you know, outside the home. That's fine. That's great. We will typically roll up our sleeves and help with dinner, do the dishes, help with laundry. And we are not girly men either. Promise keepers, I write about, you know, in the 90s, this was about how to be good men. And this was, you know, high testosterone manliness that was preached. But the message of promise keepers was love your wife, serve her, make her the queen of the household. Make sure that you respect her. Make sure that you're coming alongside and helping her. Do not ever put her down. You know, it was the exact opposite of what the gender theorists and the feminists think are these structured gender roles that men do this and women do that. They're really the only people who believe that these things exist. They don't really work themselves out in your world, my world, and if they ever did, they would be in our communities. But no, we as husbands, we as fathers, we are involved in, you know, quote unquote women's work. And, you know, the women are involved in quote unquote men's work. We work those things out. And, you know, we're not challenging any stereotypes or traditions there.
One of the things that concerns me here, finally, Glenn, is that, and this is probably the least of the concerns because the societal harm being done here is incalculable, but this has a tendency to just strangle sensical communication. The tyranny of words, pronouns, what I prefer to be or be called at any given moment, it hasn't found its way into the popular media yet, but it will. And when it does, watching the news will make about as much sense as randomly paging through a phone book. You cannot communicate truth if you are constantly worried about stepping on someone's pronouns. Talk about that with about a minute left.
No, and that's right. I mean, it's interesting. Even the CNN forum the other night, I mean, even the moderators themselves who were down for the cause, they were stepping on toes. And it's just, it's ridiculous. When you are making things up on the fly, you know, you cannot keep the story straight. And we're seeing that constantly. And Todd, this thing has to implode in on itself. And I just hope that that happens sooner rather than later, because language and words do matter. They have power, and we need to use them correctly.
Finally, what would you say for those of us who are kind of keeping our heads down? You said at the beginning, use that word gender correctly. How would you counsel us to simply and correctly define it?
Yeah. Again, sex refers to the act itself, or male and female. Gender refers to male and female. And so just simply like that. And so, like, I speak on college campuses on this issue. I've been doing it for the last 15 years. And I always get corrected. Mr. Stanton, you seem to be conflating sex and gender as the same thing, actually, when they're two different things. And I just say, you know what? Categorically, I reject that understanding of it. No explanation. I just say it. And that's what people need to start doing when, you know, they get challenged on their quote unquote very narrow use of those two words. But no, sex and gender, they're basically the same thing. They refer to male and female and the relationship between them. But gender is helpful when you're not meaning, or it could be confused that you're meaning the sex act itself.
Glenn Stanton is director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family and author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Why Sex and Gender Are Not Two Different Things. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Glenn, thank you very much.
Hey, Todd, thank you.
Corey Moss is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to talk about the future of the Roman Catholic Church. He says that there's a perfect storm brewing for the Roman Catholic Church between the clergy sex scandal, the confusion of its theology, and a pope that isn't helping at all with that confusion, making it ripe for reformation or perhaps something very negative. We'll talk about that after this.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
You know what lasts forever? God's Word. Everything else fails, but not his word. It holds and delivers exactly what he promises. His word is so solid and lasting, you can build your life and hope of eternity on it. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. It all starts Reformation Day, October 31st. Learn more at thewordendures.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.